We're getting towards the end of our series of Acts. It's still carrying on for a few more weeks yet. But the passage I'm going to be talking about is in Acts 27. And it's, say, it's getting towards the end of the book, if you like. I just want to say what an absolute privilege it is to be up here speaking to you guys. I know James Barr was talking the other week about how much of a privilege he found it to be preaching. And actually, just want to honour Vic and Dave and others, and Jeff, who've encouraged me in sort of stepping into the gifting I think feel God gave me. And actually, hopefully, you've seen me progress, hopefully, to this point. Hopefully, this isn't a dip in it. But, you know, I know some of you may know our situation as well, and it's highly likely, God willing, that we will move before I get a chance to do another preach here. So I just want to say thank you to all those who've encouraged me, given me feedback, good and bad, and just helped me. And I say it is an absolute privilege to be part of the preaching team here, albeit in my little way. So I'm going to look at what Paul did on his adventure and what it means for us. And then I'm going to look at practical ways to how we can live in an adventure-filled life. So, who likes going on an adventure? A few of you like going on an adventure. Okay, what's the best thing about going on adventures? Who's got any ideas? Romilly?
Looking at mysteries.
Looking at mysteries, trying to work things out. What's good about going on adventures? Just the excitement of it, that sort of thing. Just it's exciting. Anyone at the back there who likes anything about going on an adventure?
You never know what you're going to find.
I might even come on to that later, so that's very good. It's interesting. Actually, who can think of some good adventure films? The one behind me? Who knows what that is from? The Hobbit. The Hobbit. So Martin Freeman there, going off on his adventure. Any other good adventure films?
Peter Pan.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, interesting, Peter Pan, because I actually had that written down here because it was actually on during the football. So, but yeah, it's one of the, you know, and again, sort of like that whole adventure, sort of something unexpected, you know, am I going to go to Neverland, all that. It's an exciting thing. And actually, for computer games, I think the highest selling computer games are adventure computer games. We all want to be, sort of feel that we can be part of one. There's something in us. So, like I said, we are nearing the end of the journey that we've been on through Acts during the year. And there's been some amazing highs in Acts, and there's been some terrible lows. I think the last one I was talking about when Stephen was stoned, and how, you know, what of a difficult time that was for the church. But at this point, the gospel has spread around a big part of the Mediterranean, but not one of the key leaders had been to Rome, which was the centre of the known world at the time. That was where everything was based, was in Rome. None of the key leaders had been there. Some Christians had made their way there. So although that known world didn't really include Russia, where they're currently playing football at the moment. Yeah. Very good. But all this was about to change as Paul was about to go on an adventure. So actually, Paul had been, I'll give a bit of an intro to the passage. Paul had been preaching in Jerusalem. He'd been talking to people, all sorts of stuff had been happening, kicking off. And then there'd been a riot, he'd been jailed for his own safety. And then whilst he was in jail, God spoke to Paul and said to him that he was going to take him all the way to Rome and give him a chance to speak to the Emperor Nero. That was what God said to him. So he was then had to be questioned by the Roman officials and authorities. And he said, I appeal to Caesar, is what he said. I appeal to Caesar for him to hear my case. So they said, well, you're a Roman citizen. You're allowed to appeal to Caesar. To Rome you're going to go. So they sent him as part of this, his hearing, to Caesar. And so they agreed to take him by ship past Cyprus and Crete. Now, hopefully you can see out there. It's a little bit small, but I'll get me a pointer out. So he started off down here, and then he sailed round past Cyprus, which is there, round here and down to Crete. And he waited at Crete, and they were going to stay there because the weather was turning. There were some fierce winds that were coming in, and due to that time of year. But because the weather was getting bad, the captain wanted to get, despite all this, the captain wanted to get back to Italy. Perhaps they wanted to watch some football or something. But unfortunately, after they left Crete, a massive storm came down here. There's the massive storm. There you go. There's the massive storm. Was blowing in that direction. And you can't quite see here, but they've estimated that the boat kind of went a bit wibbly-wobbly all around here. And then blew them off towards Malta. So they wanted to go straight that way, but they kind of got a bit lost round here. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. So going from Acts 27 and starting with verse 27 in the New Living Translation. It was about midnight on the 14th night of the storm. So we'll just stop there a minute. The 14th night of the storm. This storm had been going for 14 nights. This was one big storm. Okay. As they were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. So they dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 foot deep. It's not very deep. Okay, they're getting near some land. It's dark, it's stormy, they don't know where they are. But a little later, they measured it again and found now it was only 90 foot deep. At this rate, they were afraid they would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. So I think they're sort of saying that the storm was so bad, it was almost as if it was nighttime. It was so dark, they hadn't seen the sunshine for ages. It says, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors on the front of the ship. So basically, the sailors have gone to the front of the ship. Yes, we're just putting down some anchors. And they go, quick, get the lifeboat out. Get the lifeboat. We're going. No, no, it's anchors. Yo, no, not lifeboat, no. But Paul knew exactly what was going on. It says, but Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboat and let it drift away. So they're now on a ship without a lifeboat in the middle of this storm, and the ground's getting nearer. It says, just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair on your heads will perish. Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 206 of us who were on board. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. When morning dawned, they didn't recognise the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off all the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail and headed towards the shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast, while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. So they've hit like a coral reef, there's some sort of reef, and now the boat's getting, the front of it's stuck in there, and the waves are coming in behind it and smashing it, and the boat starts to break apart, just as they can see land ahead. It says, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure that they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land. And the others held onto planks or debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore. So just as Paul has said, not a single person died on that ship. They all got to shore, and he ended up on the coast of Malta, which was on my picture earlier on. What an incredible story. That is some adventure. Paul was so sure that God was with him that he wasn't fearful of getting shipwrecked. Everyone else was full of fear, saying, what do we do? Let's sneakily get the lifeboat out. says, well, so while I was preparing this preach, this passage really challenged me as to what, as we have been going through some quite scary times ourselves at the moment, those of you that know us and know our story know that at the moment, things are quite scary for us. We're not, you know, we've got, we're wanting to move house, and we wanted to move house in the summer holidays, and God's been opening door after door after door for us to let us step into what we've prayed about, and he said, you know, this is where I want you to go, I'm with you in this. And then it's got to the last stage, and there's a problem with our chain, and it's all kind of ground to a halt at the moment. And I can see summer holidays getting very close, and this is all very scary. And I'm thinking, and we've both prayed, said, God, what are you doing here? This doesn't make sense. You know, we're trying to follow you, and we're praying to you, and you're giving us direction. And yet, here we are, we're finding ourselves in this storm, and this makes no sense. You know, almost like the same sort of thing. Like the sailors found that the ground was getting closer, we can see the summer holidays getting closer, and it's like, okay, this doesn't make sense. So, this has really challenged me. This has really spoken to me and sort of said, actually, God is in the scary times as well as in the easy times. Now, we often want to avoid scary moments in life, not only in football.
Yay!
But without risk, there is no adventure. I'll say that again. Without risk, there is no adventure. Now, I will use an analogy of a certain type of match that is happening, or certain type of tournament that is happening at the moment. and there's a whole bunch of people that have gone to Russia. most of them aren't involved in it at all. They're watching, they're spectating, they're seeing what's going on. But there's actually 11 people on the pitch that are actually taking risks, that are doing it, and it's all on their shoulders. Where every time they go to take a shot or to try and make a save or something like that, there's an element of risk. Are they going to do the right thing? Is it all going to be... All these cameras are facing them. It says, but all the...
Andy, what's the thing that they're involved in?
The thing that they're involved in, silly, is football. But the way you'd look at it, if you looked at the crowd, you'd think that they were doing it all as well. But actually, they're only spectating. There's no risk involved in it for them. Whatever they do doesn't really affect what happens. And they're not going to have the cameras on them. And it just struck me, actually, that can be a bit like us in the Christian life. You know, we all support Jesus. We all want his kingdom to come. And we're all on this journey together. But actually, how much are we taking a risk? And how much are we just spectating and just watching what happens? How much, from whatever age, oldest to the youngest, how much are you involved in God's kingdom being pushed out? And how much are you just sitting back in the seats and just cheering when somebody else does it? John 16, verse 33 says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, we sometimes skip to the second bit, and actually it's jumped out for me, and actually it's mentioned in a book I'll mention in a minute, that the Bible, Jesus says in John, you will have trouble. So it made me think, well, if we're not having trouble, why is that? If Jesus said you will have trouble, is it because we're not necessarily doing the stuff? Maybe we're just spectating. Because we're all called to be on an adventure. I've been reading a book. I've been listening to an audio book. But Catherine was reading the book. By a guy called Francis Chan. Called Crazy Love. And I would really recommend it. If you want your mind blown and your eyes open to things, it's a very interesting book. And I'm not one who reads books. I'm terrible at reading books. I'll get sort of three chapters in and kind of give up, and it will sit there just looking nice on my bookshelf and as if I've read it, but I haven't really. But this has been really encouraging. And there's a couple of things that it said. in this book. It's called Crazy Love, and it's talking about being lukewarm or living a life of faith. It says that he was challenged by one of his Bible school teachers as to say, when was the last time that you lived by faith in such a way that if God didn't show up and do the thing, that you'd be in trouble? When did you last do something that if God didn't show up, you're in trouble? And I was like, wow, that's a good point. That's a good barometer. How much am I trusting God? How much am I relying on him to show up? And he goes on to say, actually, I'll read it from the book here. It's talking about lukewarm people. So lukewarm is like not hot, not cold, a bit in between, a bit there. Like, who here, you know, days like today when it's so boiling hot, you don't really want a lukewarm drink of water. That's how the Bible talks about people that aren't doing the stuff, that are just spectating. It says, lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they do not have to. They don't have to trust God if something unexpected happens. They have their savings account. They don't need God to help them. They have a retirement plan in place. They don't genuinely seek out what life God would have them live. They have life figured and mapped out. They don't depend on God on a daily basis. Their fridges are full, and for the most part, they are in good health. The truth is, and this is the bit that really jumped out, the truth is, their lives wouldn't look much different if they suddenly stopped believing in God. I was like, wow. That made me think. If tomorrow I stopped believing in God, how different would my life look? Yes, my Sunday mornings might be a bit different. Maybe my Thursday evenings. But outside of that, how different would my life be if I didn't follow God? And I thought, that's interesting. So what adventure is God asking you to go on? Now, this slide here, some of you may recognise. It's from two different computer games. One called Fortnite and one called Minecraft. Okay, kids and adults alike, who here would see themselves more as Team Fortnite? I'll explain the difference in a minute. But just you, some Fortnite people, yeah, Fortnite. Who's more Minecraft? More, yeah, okay. So basically, for those who don't know, Fortnite over here is a game. It's sort of last man standing kind of game. Everyone's attacking each other, and the last person that's still standing at the end of the game wins. Whereas Minecraft is more, you're both in these different lands, you're on an adventure. The Minecraft one is you're building stuff, you're creating stuff, you're trying to survive as well, because there's enemies coming at you, but you're creating things, and you can create these fantastic buildings and architecture and even change the landscape. But both the games are about going on an adventure. So there's some things that I thought, looking at these two games, that we can learn. So first of all, the first thing I thought is you've got to choose your team wisely. So if you're going on an adventure, you need to surround yourself with people who will support you and encourage you. In the game Fortnite, you can be as part of a squad, and you can have a good squad that will be there and heal you if you're injured, help you, protect you. Or you can be a completely rubbish squad that all go off in their own different directions, do their own different things, and it's just really frustrating. So put people around you, actually, that will encourage you, support you, protect you. I know there's people in our lives that have been real encouragement to us, and we're so grateful for them. People that encourage, when we've been finding it difficult, to say, come on, this is what the Bible says, this is what God's saying to you, and have prayed for us, and have really shown love for us, and we've really appreciated that. You know, we've had a good team around us. When situations do come up, having people around you that you can talk to about it and pray with, it's just vital. Paul, interestingly, look through Acts, what happened to Paul? He surrounded himself with people that that were a good team. In fact, one point he even had an argument with someone as to who that team should be. So they actually, that was really important for him. So actually, it was up with Barnabas. Barnabas thought, I think it was John should be with them. I can't remember details, I have to look it up. But there's a big argument around that. So it was important to surround yourself with people that not just agree with you, but also that will challenge you and say, I don't think that's right. I don't necessarily think that's the right thing to do. Next is to prepare well. Oh, it's a shame it's not brighter. There was a fantastic image of something that's been created. So on Minecraft, you can create these gigantic structures if you've got time to do it, and some would say no life at all. But you can create these great structures. And say with Minecraft game, it's all the first thing you have to do is you have to start getting supplies. So you make sure you've got a pickaxe. You've got to build your own pickaxe from bits of wood, and then you get bits of stone, and you can make a stone pickaxe, and then you can get a sword so that you, anything attacks you, you can fight back. And it's all about getting prepared. So, yes, you may not know where you're going. You may not even be sure what God's calling you to do at the moment. So, but this could be your time of preparation. And before we started going on, getting ready for our new adventure, that God put us through a time of preparation. That we got close to God. We started praying more. We started reading our Bible more. And all that sort of thing prepares you for the adventure that you're going on. So if you're not doing the stuff at the moment, then start preparing. Because you need to be prepared before you do it. Before he went anywhere, Paul would pray and make sure that he knew where God was sending him. You know, and even to the point that they tried to go to one area at one point, and they felt, as I think there was a preach on it the other day, I think Mike was preaching on it, that God stopped them from going. So all the time he's getting prepared and saying, okay, where do you want to send me? You know, what do I need to do? And the next one that follows on from that is to be brave. So yes, we could spend all our lives preparing. We could spend all our time saying, okay, I'm not quite ready yet. I'm not ready to go. I haven't got all the things I need. But in the games, if you spent all your time preparing and gathering equipment, then there wouldn't be any adventure in it. You'd just be running around looking for stuff. Actually, at some point in time, you have to be brave and make that jump or step out and do it. Because God uses non-professionals. And we had the privilege of being part of the Joy at Kempton Park event. And all the way through it, our friend Rowena, who was heading it up, said, we're all but a bunch of non-professionals. None of us are experts in this. We're just doing what God's called us to do. And you look throughout the whole Bible, it was never the professionals that God chose. It was the shepherd boys, or it was the people that were hiding in the wine press, or it was the people that were actually, in Paul's case, doing the opposite. They were trying to persecute the new Christians. Actually, he uses the people that you wouldn't expect. So if you feel that you're not equipped to do everything that God would have you do, then you're in good company. So don't let the fact that you haven't got everything sorted stop you from going on the adventure. Then the next one is to expect the unexpected. Now this here, who knows what that's called? Pardon? A creeper. This is called a creeper. This is from the game of Minecraft. And you would be digging away or going around some little tunnel or something like that. You turn a corner and suddenly there's one of these things creeps up on you, hence the term the creeper. And sometimes it will even make you jump. You're just like, ah! And as soon as it gets close to you, it explodes. So you've just got to run away from it straight away. So in the same way, when you're going on an adventure with God, unexpected things happen. Something will happen in your life. And for us, it's our house move. We didn't expect to still be in July, having not got a chain to move. It's unexpected. But actually, God is still knowing and trusting that God is still with you in the unexpected times. Paul didn't expect to have a shipwreck. You know, he did say that he felt it wasn't a good idea to sail before they did, but he didn't know what was going to happen, yet he still trusted God through the unexpected times. And lastly, it's all about the journey. So a lot of the time that we can feel that actually it's about the destination. What's God wanting me to do? Well, I want God to use me to do that event or that sermon or to go and speak to these people in this area or even this country. But actually, it's not just about that. It's about the journey as well. And for the games, say for instance for the game of Fortnite, if you just walked out and suddenly everybody else had disappeared, everyone else had logged off and they disappeared from the game, and you were just the winner by default, you go, oh great, but then that wouldn't be much of an adventure. Actually, the adventure is actually in the journey itself. And the way God move, and the way God changes you, that's all part of the adventure as well. So don't be in a rush. Take your time and see God change you as you go. Although Paul knew that his goal was getting to Rome, he didn't let a single opportunity go to waste on the way. That he was showing people about God and Jesus all along the route. It wasn't a case of, well, it doesn't really matter at the moment because I'm going to Rome and that's what's important. And sometimes we sing songs like we have done today about, you know, I will rise with the saints and I will be with him in glory. And we go, yay, that's the end goal. That's fantastic. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and even better than football. But to go back to that, if they just turned up and said, we've had a look and we've gauged all the different teams and actually England, you seem to be the best team, so here's a trophy. That wouldn't, although it'd be nice, that wouldn't be much of an adventure. Nope. The adventure is that having the risk there. It is going out and doing something, and it is the same in our life. You know, we just don't say, okay, God, I want you to transplant me now into that place to go and do that thing. Actually, the adventure is getting there as well. It's about the journey. So you can actually, to go back to the two pictures, you can go about your adventure in two different ways. So you can go about it in the Fortnite style, which is winning is everything. It's all about the win. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that you win. You can go about in that kind of way. But actually, I would suggest that the Minecraft way of an adventure is actually better. In Minecraft, it's all about what you build. It's what you do. It's what you create. That is what the adventure that we're being called on. So I would actually challenge you, because we need to be challenged. What is your adventure? What is the thing that you said, okay, God, I would love to see you do this. I would love to see this happen. What adventure are you on? And if you're not on an adventure, then why don't we pray? Why don't today we pray that God will show us what the adventure is that he wants to take us on? Because it's incredible. It is life-changing. It is transforming. When you're doing something and you think, okay, God, it's all up to you. It's all or nothing with you. If you don't show up, I'm in trouble here. I'm going to look foolish. Actually, that's the life that Paul lived. And I'd say that's the life that we're all called to. And if we're not, then maybe God wants to speak to us. Maybe God wants to give us a little nudge, like Vic was talking about. Well, I did give permission to go. It's fine. But maybe God's trying to give us a little nudge to say, you know what? Enough of the spectating. It's time to get on the pitch. It's time to get active. And I'll leave you with this, that one comment from earlier on. If you were to stop believing tomorrow, what in your life would change? Let's be people that are changed by our faith and that are living according to it. Thanks a lot.